How many knows rejoicing's a choice? Look over at your neighbor and say, did you know rejoicing's a choice? And if they're not smiling, tell them, go ahead and notify your face. Rejoicing's a choice. Just go ahead and tell them. Yeah. They're mad anyway, so you can't hurt anything, can you? I mean, I just feel pretty good today. We had a good prayer meeting this morning and all. Children's church, what are we doing here? Yeah, what? All right. Everybody had a good week? How about this rain in August? Man, it's pretty nice, isn't it? Unless you're doing something outside and you don't need rain. But it's been really, I've enjoyed the cooler weather. How many of us enjoyed the cooler weather? Yeah, so we just say thank you, Lord. How many knows it takes rain and sunshine to grow stuff? You can't just have all sunshine, you'll burn up. You can't have all rain. They call that the flood. And so we give God praise for the balance that He puts in. And our lawns are green and we don't have to water as much. That's good. I have to mow more often, get more exercise. So we can look at the good and everything, or we can just pick apart what we don't like about it, can't we? So rejoicing is a choice. Everybody got your sword today and ready to learn? We're going to go back to building healthy relationships, and we're going to talk about listening today. How many knows that's a great tool for building healthy relationships is listening? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Listening. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, you're just not listening, are you? Sometimes I'll be talking to Jana and she'll be busy with something. I say, you're just not listening to me, are you? In fact, when her phone rings, she has a BlackBerry, and when her phone rings and I'm talking to her, I just stop now. Because her little mind just goes right to work. And she's over there texting. And one time she said, I'm listening. I said, no, I just told you. What did I say? She said, oh, I don't know. You ever done that? You know? And so I just know she's not in the listening mode to me when she's in the work mode. And so I'll just stop while you text and you get that done, then we'll pick back up. Because how many knows it hurts my feelings when you don't listen to me? How many of you are like me? It just hurts your feelings when you're trying to talk to somebody. Look at all the sensitive people in this room. So mark us now and be sensitive. When we're talking, we want you to listen. For the rest of you, we don't care. We're all sensitive, aren't we, in that area? We all want to be listened to and good listening skills. In fact, I heard someone say, we're all delusional in three areas. Number one, we all think we're good drivers. How many good drivers we have in here? Look at all the delusional people in this room. Okay, now, if you think you're a good driver, lift your hand. Let me see. Come on. Now, if you've had one accident, lower your hand. At least one, yeah. Okay, so a few of us still had our hand up. And I can't really qualify either, because I remember one time I was bringing in some volleyball poles, and there were some guys standing over at the door, and I was trying to get their attention, and I'm pulling around the parking lot, and we're going to circle around and put the volleyball things over here. And Jana says, Jack! And I looked up and there was that light pole right there. And boom! And my volleyball poles are doing this number in the back of my truck. And so I have hit a few things. So that's even quality. But driver, we all think we're good drivers, you know. And number two, we all think we have a good sense of humor. How many people has a good sense of humor? Look at all the dry sense of humor people. Raise their hands. Bless their heart. And the third area we're all delusional is we all think we're good listeners. How many's good listeners? What? Yeah. Oh, we got a smarty right here on the front. What? And so I just want to talk to you about listening. And how many knows our perfect role model was Jesus Christ? I mean, Jesus was, you can look at His life and study His life and you won't go wrong. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. And we look at him, this is a very young age. He's like 12 years old. And how many would just give your right arm if your 12-year-old would just listen, you know? And so he was 12 years old. And it, the story doesn't start off well, because, well, we'll just read. In Luke 2 and verse 40, and the child, talking about Jesus, his mind's got a capital C, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God upon, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus, and mine's even got a capital B, I like that, boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joe thought his mother did not know it. They thought, it says verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, that they went a day's journey and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And so, in other words, they lost God's only son. It wouldn't be a good day, would it, if God assigns you to conceive and raise his son and you lost him? That would not be a good day. How many said that just wouldn't be a good day? And so it didn't start off well at all, but I want to show you something out of this controversial story, or this dramatic story, I guess, that's good. It says now, verse 46, now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening and to them and asking them questions. So 3 days, bless her heart, and they finally found him. And you know what he's doing for 3 days? He's listening and he's asking questions. How many's ever gotten in a lot of trouble by just listening? How many's gotten a lot of trouble by talking? How many knows listening is better than talking? How many knows if you're wanting to learn something and grow and be better, it's all about listening, isn't it? And he was listening and he was asking questions. I like to listen to John Maxwell. I read his books, get his monthly CD, Maximum Impact. If you're a business person and you want to grow in your develop yourself, I highly recommend Maximum Impact. I've had that tape for series for years. It's a CD you can order once a month. Great insight. But you know what John does? He asks tons and tons of questions and listens. That's how he has made millions and millions of dollars. And if you have him to come do a seminar for you, it's you know, you can get ready to spend $100,000 to bring John in, unless it's a Christian organization based thing. He'll do things cheaper. But you know how he got to be in such high demand? It's through asking questions and listening. The same principle that Jesus used. And I'm telling you, if you want to grow, for some of you young people that's looking for careers, if you want to grow, be a good listener and ask great questions. And it'll help you rise above the others in your business, in your company, because you learn so much by listening and asking great questions. I've heard John mention several times, he said, I just love to sit down with you and I'll ask you questions and listen to you and I'll write them in a book and I'll sell them back to you and get royalties off of your knowledge. And that's what he literally does. I mean, he has thousands and thousands of quotes. He's always writing and listening. And I thought, we get that from Christ. And watch what it says. It says they found him and he was asking questions and listening. Verse 47. When we ask questions and we listen, this is the result. This is the fruit. And all who heard him were what? Astonished at his understanding and answers. Listen, if you're a good listener, you can have some great answers. And people may be astonished at what you say and what you have to share because you've been listening and absorbing and learning so you can be better. And this is what Jesus taught us at 12 years old. If you want to have something to say when you speak, be a good listener. Ask great questions and just absorb and learn. How many knows we all need each other and we all have something we can teach each other? We all have something we can teach each other. So we need to learn how to listen. I heard this statement the other day and I thought, this is why we don't listen. Listening is the ultimate other-centered activity. Listening is the ultimate other-center activity. And right there's the problem, Fred. We don't listen because if I listen, it's about you. And I want to tell you about me. I've got something I want to share. In fact, when you share about your weekend, well, let me tell you about my weekend. I'm forming my thoughts so I can tell you about my weekend. When you tell me about your career and what God's doing in your life, I'm already forming my thoughts because I want to share about what God's doing in my life. And so that's one of the problems. That's why we don't listen. It's because we want to share about number one. Thank you. Everybody say, oh, me. Because we want to share about me. And there's nothing wrong with sharing about me, but listening, really listening well, is about other-centered activity, isn't it? One of the things that Jana must have said hundreds of times in our early marriage, and I don't know if she just gave up or I got better, but she said, you just don't understand what I'm saying. When we're trying to, you know, when you get married, how many knows there's a leveling off? How many knows what I'm talking about? There's a time when you've been used to own your own and your own schedule and your own things, and then there, when you come together as one, there's a leveling off. How many knows there's a, and if you haven't been married, you don't understand, but if you've been married, how many just been married, you say there is a leveling off. And the better listener you are, the better it levels off. And sometimes people just don't listen at all, and they're not understanding. They're not asking questions. They're just trying to tell about themselves, and they don't make it, and then they're back on their own again. See, I'm telling you, there's a, and if you want to build a healthy relationship, listen well and ask questions. How was your day, dear? Tell me about your day. What did you like about your day? What was rough about your day? See, those are great questions, aren't they? And it'll help build relationships. Same thing in your friendships. When you ask about them and you ask about your friends, how many know it's just going to help you grow and help you bond and help you get better? And so any part of life, any aspect of life, we're talking about building healthy relationships today, but just becoming a good listener. Really listening to people. Don't you like it when you're talking to someone, they just look you in the eye and they kind of lean forward a little bit and you can tell you have their focus and their attention? I like that. I like that. I went the other day and had some tires put on my truck and I had my books and I'm over there just reading and studying and I've just learned and study in whatever environment I'm in. So I had them and I'm opening it up and because I've got an hour and a half or two of them having some things done on my truck and across the aisle from me there, a lady and a young man come in and they have a little baby. And this lady, I noticed, she sat there and she said something. She complimented their baby and the young woman said, oh, he was setting up and he was cutting teeth. He was doing all this stuff babies do, you know. And that lady said, oh, really? And she looked over to me. She said, did you hear that? That baby was cutting teeth. Can I see that tooth? I thought, it's a tooth. Why don't you shut up? I'm trying to study here, you know. But, I mean, she had their... She was listening to everything they said and they were just like, he is pretty special, isn't he? You know, but I thought, she is a good listener. Because everything they said, she got excited about it. And that couple would just, and then so they just start shoveling everything that Junior's done ever in his life, you know. And she's, and then she called somebody on the phone. She said, there is this baby here and he cut a tooth at such and such. And he was, and she repeats it on the phone. I thought, I wonder if there's even anybody really on that phone. I'm telling you, she had their attention. She had their attention, man. And they felt like, boy, this is some kind of baby we've had here. You know. And you know what it started with? Listening to what was important to them. Listening to what was important to them. That's what started the whole thing. In fact, in doing this study, God is convicted me. And maybe it'll convict you. I want to show you something. Go with me to Genesis. Because I was doing a word study. I do that a lot when I'm doing a series or just keying in like today, like on a word listing. And so I just started thumbing through the scripture and I came across this and I thought, man, I'm a long ways from being a good listener. When I read this story, it just convicted me. How many members Jacob and Rachel and Leah in the Bible? And God's getting ready to have the 12, you know, the 12 he's preparing. And the way it came about, it's like It's just, to me, it's an unorthodox way to bring in the chosen 12, you know? It's really, and what's happening here is Lee and Rachel are having a baby war. That's what I call it. When I got through this study, I thought, they're just having a baby war. And the story goes like this, if you hadn't heard it. Jacob goes to Laban, his relative, and he's wanting to marry, and Abraham wants him to marry, or Isaac wants him to marry in the lineage, you know, and not take a wife outside of the Jews. And so he's gone to Laban's house, and he falls in love with Rachel. Rachel is the pretty one. And Lee, it said she, well, it just says something to the effect about her eyes, you know, she wasn't just real pretty. And it states it well, but anyway, he worked 7 years for Rachel, and then Laban is a real shifter, you know, he's a shifty type person, and so, when it's time for him to give Rachel to Jacob, it's dark, and he just slips Lee in that night, and little Jacob, he's full of hormones and all this stuff, and the next morning in the daylight, he looks and he slept with Rachel, or Lee. And he's shocked and he's aggravated and he's mad, and so he goes to Laban and he says, "Hey, you sent the wrong woman in." And Laban says, "No, this is my oldest, and so I have to, you know, get her married off first." And so then he says, "Well, I'll work another 7 years." And so he fulfills his week with Lee, and then Laban says, "Okay, now you can have Rachel, my other daughter." And so this is how the union started, and they're married, and all of a sudden the Bible talks about Rachel is wanting to have children, and so he gives her four sons. And what's neat about it, look in verse 31 of Genesis 29. When the Lord saw that Lee was unloved, Rachel's the pretty one. How many has ever felt like the ugly one? You don't raise your hand, but you know, sometimes we all feel like the... We know who you are. No, I'm just... That was terrible, wasn't it? Bad pastor. You stop it. And in closing, the Lord saw that Lee was unloved, and so what he's teaching us here is, you know what, he's not listening with his ears, he's listening with his eyes. Have you ever listened with your eyes? You witnessed something, and you didn't hear anything, but you heard plenty. You ever done that before? You know, you see a situation, you see someone's countenance before you talk to them, you know, and you think, oh man. This morning, Paul came in and he sat down for just a few minutes and was here during the meet and greet. And then he got up and I noticed Philip helping him and I thought he was going to the restroom. And then Jana came in and she said, "Paul's not doing well. He's out in the foyer." And she said, "But he's going home." And I guess Philip or one of you helped him to his truck. And but I could tell this morning, I thought he's not, you know, he didn't say anything. I said, "How you doing?" I always call him Cowboy. You know, he's my neighbor when we live down there and he has cattle. So my nickname for him, I said, "How you doing, Cowboy?" And he said, "Oh, I'm doing all right." But I could tell, you know, this morning, just by looking, that he didn't feel, but I didn't know he felt that bad. But I sensed that by just looking and watching his actions. That's what God is saying here. And that's the kind of listener we need to develop, because we're so busy with schedules and careers and this and that. But to take time to look at people and their situation and begin to hear with what we see. And so he saw Lee was unloved. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And so what God is doing, he sees your situation and my situation. Sometimes when you may not think you're ugly, but sometimes you feel like the ugly duckling. You know, you get the raw end of the deal. When God's handing out blessings to other people, that you just didn't get a blessing in your area. And so sometimes we feel like the ugly duckling, or the one that's kind of left behind, or the one that didn't get their prayer answered like somebody else did. Somebody gave a praise in your area of need of what God did, but God didn't do that for you. See? But what I want you to know with this story is God is listening, and not only is He listening to you with His eyes, with his ears, but he's also listening with his eyes. He sees your need. He sees where you are. And he knows what you need. And so, in building healthy relationships, we need to look at stuff like this when we say that, we see that, and we don't know what she prayed and what was said, but he saw her circumstances and where she was at. And he sees yours at work. He sees yours in your family setting. He sees yours in controversial issues that you're going through. He sees and he's listening. He's looking at you and he's watching and he's taking your matter in his heart. And we need to do that. And Ms. Nicely, she's a good listener. You are a good listener. Because whenever we share a testimony or a prayer request or something with her, you can hear it in your response. Oh, you know, if it's a prayer request and someone's needing help, it goes to your heart, doesn't it? See? And I like that. I like that about you. In fact, Dana told somebody that she's my other mother. That's how she looks at you. Yeah. And that's what she said. I know Jerry. She called you. She said she's one of my greatest friends. That's what she called you Wednesday. And I thought I'd just hand that to you while you're here today. And she said, because she's always in my corner. So if you're ever not in her corner, just tell me and don't tell her, because she thinks you're always in her corner, okay? All right. But you've got that kind of heart where you see and you, when you hear something, you hear it all the way down. You know what I'm saying? That's a great gift God's given you. It's a gift, and then you have to take it and you have to say, because of the mercy elements you have to say, well, it's a gift, but then you have to be cheerful about things and what God's bringing, because sometimes when you hear like you hear, it'll pull you down. It does sometimes, doesn't it? When you hear, it molds on you. And that's the thing about you that have the gift of mercy and things. When you hear something and you hear it, man, you're not like some of us that's low in the mercy gift. You know, we hear it and we pray over you and we're on to the next subject. That's just the way we're put together. We don't mean to. We don't want to leave you behind, but we've said our prayer. Now that's what we're supposed to do. Now we're going to the next assignment. But here's the good thing. If we ask you to pray for us, pray for us and leave us alone. Go on to the next assignment. So we're not biased. That's the way we're put together. But when you have the gift of mercy like her, and when you hear something that's heavy and it just sticks with you, just know that you're a better listener than most of us are. You hear it all the way down the core of your being. And that's what God made for you. And He gave us special people like you so we could know that somebody really cares and somebody's carrying this stuff around for us. You see what I'm saying? So He saw her. And so, verse 32, she conceived and she bore Reuben. Not only, boy, did he really see her, because in verse 33, she's got Simeon. Verse 34, she's bearing again now Levi. And then verse 35, Judah. So here's Rachel now. Rachel says, oh my gosh, four sons, you know. And Rachel says in verse 30, chapter 30 and verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. That's a request, isn't it? And Jacob says, well, honey, I don't think it's me. Have you noticed how many children my other wife's had? Jacob was angry. His anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of your womb? And so she says, well, here's what I'll do. And Laban has given each of them a servant when they were married. How many just wish your dad would have given you a servant when you got married? Yeah. We need to start that back up, don't we? Amen. My daughter really needs a servant. Six children. I should have gave her two servants. Amen. Yeah. And so she has a servant, and Lee has her servant. So here's my maid, Bilhah, go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, and so I may also bear children by her. And she gave him Bilhah and her maid as a wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore a son to Jacob. And so verse 6, Dan is born. And she says in verse 6, boy, he's heard my voice and given me a son. He's heard my voice and given me a son. So she's been talking to God she couldn't conceive, but she says, you know, through my maidservant, he's heard my voice. You know what? When we're listening, when we're asking God and we're he's listening to us, sometimes we need to realize that he may not answer the way that we want him to, but He is listening. Sometimes when we're building relationships and we're listening, I'm listening to you, but I cannot fulfill the thing that you want fulfilled the way you want it fulfilled. And so sometimes what we do is we take offense at that. And so if you're talking to someone or you're trying to negotiate with someone and they hear you but don't respond with what you're wanting, how many knows now they're just not listening? They don't, you know, and we get offensive, and when we get offensive, we just break that healthy relationship, and we kind of go into denial. Kind of like with Joseph. After Joseph is born, how many knows he's like the baby, and he's Rachel's first, and he's loved more than anybody else. And the Bible says that whenever he came out to check on them and they threw him in the pit, they said the brothers threw him in the pit and they were going to kill Joseph. That's how jealous they were of their brother. And then one of them says, well, we don't want to kill him. He's our brother, so let's just sell him. I've often asked this question and thought, how many of us here have relatives would sell real cheap? And the Bible said, and they listened to him. They listened to the brother that said, let's sell him. How many knows that's terrible advice? That's really, it's evil. But because it was going to bless them, we're going to get rid of the problem. We're going to get rid of this little brother that's favored. Daddy made him a special coat. You know, he always gets stuff, and we never get things at our house, you know, and Dad never buys that for me. And he always, you know, how many of you have had the baby of the family, and you think they just get more than you? Bless your little hearts. Grow up and find Jesus and get past all that stuff. Yeah. Don't lose your blessings God wants to give you today because you're fretting over what you didn't get yesterday. But what I found fascinating in my study was, whenever they came up with this cruel alternative to sell him, the Bible said his brothers listened and agreed. You know what it teaches us through that principle? That what it teaches us is this, that when we hear information that's beneficial to us, and it could even be really way less than pure, let's just put it that way. The motives can be bad, it's very impure train of thought, but it blesses me because it's kind of levels the ground now. You know, you've always got the favor, and now we're going to do this, and then we're going to kind of bring the ground back even again. And so we have to be careful what we listen to whenever we've got an attitude against someone or a vendetta against someone. Somebody's hurt us and we hear something negative about them. We're real prone to just chime in and get a little bit of pleasure out of that. And we have to be very careful because we'll wind up like these guys carrying guilt around for years and years and bitterness. And God somewhere will turn the tables back around. And remember when they came to Egypt and they faced Joseph and now he's second in command. And now they're at the mercy of the one that they were jabbing and the one they were coming against. Now he has the upper hand. How many knows God has a way of balancing everything out? And so we just need to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to the voice of God. So that is something that we need to be careful of. So we go on in the story here, and we find that Rachel, you know, she gives her servant to her husband, and in verse or chapter 30, verse 6, Dan is born, Naphtali is born, verse 8. Verse 9 says, when Lee saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife, and Lee's maid Zilpha bore Jacob a son. So she's hopped on the baby war bandwagon, if you will. And so Lee says, a man, God has given me a troop. Verse 11, and she called his name Gad, and then Zilpha bore Jacob a second son. She called his name Asher. And then one day, and this is what they're caught up in. Like it's like a baby race. And I'm thinking, if I'm God, this is just, I'm not blessing this and I'm not listening, right? Well, that's not what God did, is it? God taught me something in this lesson I want you to get today. Look at verse 14. Reuben, this is Leah's oldest son, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes and pretty flowers in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of these flowers. And And so Lee says, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you also take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son. You know, if you'll give me those flowers, you can have Jacob tonight. This is God's best. And you can tell they've been married a while. Just give me the flowers and you can sleep with what's his name, you know? I mean, you can tell the honeymoon's over. But what really fascinated me about this story is that God is listening. And not only is He listening, but He's answering prayer in this kind of an attitude. It blew me away. And it convicted me. Watch. It says, when Jacob came out of the field, verse 16, in the evening, Lee went out to meet him and said, you must come to me, for I have surely hired you. I'm pimping you out tonight. I mean, this is the ladies that God is bringing the 12 in through. I have surely hired you with my son's flowers. And he lay with her. And God, and verse 17, and God listened to Leah. In this environment, that just blows me away. This is almost childish, but they're talking about lives here, being born, the 12 tribes, if you will, and this is the attitude that brought them in, and God is listening. God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son, Issachar. Verse 19, then Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son, Zebulun. And then afterwards she bore a daughter over a one night stand with flowers. God listened. Where we think, if you're like me, you think that is pretty petty. That is pretty petty. But God listened and He gave her three children. Verse 22, then God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and opened her womb and she conceived and bore a son. And she said, God has taken away my reproach. And so she called his name Joseph. And after all that, God is still listening. Now, here's what convicted me. How many has ever heard whiny people caught up in a mess and you think, you just need to grow up. You need to get over yourself. You need, you know, and all those things. And what God taught me through this was, you know what? You're the one that needs to grow up. You need to be a better listener. Because sometimes when it seems petty to me, but it's a desire in somebody's heart, that's important to them. And I created them and I made them. And you ought to be more sensitive to what they need, even in the midst of something as weird as this. How many just thinks that's weird besides me? That's just, you know, when you think of God bringing in the 12...